As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Coast in Canada, across North America, and around the globe and the World Wide Web. This is Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru. And Raceline is driven by the Subaru WRX and WRX STI 11-time Canadian Rally Manufacturers Champion, and by the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe, engineered to excite. Presented by Subaru Canada, we are your national radio motorsport authority. The Raceline Radio Network, Eric Thomas, host and anchor. Lisa Pileski is back as our supreme commander in Raceline Master Control. Vic Politian has control of the network controls for us this week. On the program, wrapping up the only Canadian stop on the IndyCar schedule, the Honda Indy Toronto. The 30th IndyCar run in the city, won by Australia's Will Power. Was it the show most expected? Near the end, it was a great race. Have a detailed race recap and guest segment one. Then for more insight, welcoming back our good pal Stephanie Wallcraft from RacingNorth.ca for her take on the proceedings in guest segment two. Simple question about a bulky gearbox on the radio. Got F1's Nico Rosberg in a whole heap of trouble. Gonna let you listen to it to draw your own conclusion as the penalty impacts the points. And we get to more of your entries in the Subaru Raceline mailbag. Trivia, contest, your chance to snare the grand prize pack in the race wrap. Will Power wins the Toronto IndyCar roar by the shore. Matt Kenseth scores in New Hampshire, and Mercedes will not appeal that Silverstone radio penalty after all. So for race fans across Canada and northern U.S. border states, powerful sport, powerful radio for 24 years, this is the Raceline Radio Network.
This is James Hinchcliffe, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Master, what makes a man great?
Close your eyes and tell me what you hear.
I think I hear the rumbling of power, Master. Is that the thunder of destiny calling me to dig deep within to find my own strength?
No, my son, that's just Master Han and his 2017 Subaru WRX STI.
Hey, anyone need anything from the store? A gum?
The 2017 Subaru WRX STI.
Butter?
Nothing sounds like it. Nothing drives like it. Subaru, confidence in motion.
Did you hear about Frank? Arrested for drunk driving? I never would have thought he would make that mistake. He's got a great job and is a terrific dad.
Not all drunk drivers are the same, you know. They can be male or female, all different ages, come from all walks of life.
There are many types of drunk drivers. Some drink and drive rarely, while others do it all the time. That's why we have a variety of strategies to deal with them.
You know, a good friend of mine was charged, and she almost never drinks.
Speak your mind. ChangeTheConversation.ca.
The good people at Jack Link's know a thing or two about perfection. And perfection is on full display with their new small batch jerky. Handcrafted and slowly smoked. With savory flavors like teriyaki and peppered, Jack Link's small batch will leave you speechless. And probably crying tears of joy. Because it's good. So good. Sometimes the best things in life start small. Try the new small batch bacon jerky. Available in stores now.
Jack Link's beef jerky. Feed your wild side.
This is the ultimate must-have for motorcycle enthusiasts. TISO is proud to present the T-Race MotoGP Limited Edition 2016 watch. This watch has the precision of the timekeeper, with chronograph functions resembling a bike dashboard and features such as the brake disc bezel and tire tread on the back of the bracelet. Available at your authorized TISO dealer. For more information, visit TISOWatches.com. That's T-I-S-S-O-T watches.com. TISO, Swiss watches since 1853.
Thomas, Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru with Raceline Race Wrap. IndyCar in the 30th Toronto Indy, downtown TO. They had to change the layout. It was coming apart. The track was in a couple of places, but a lousy racetrack did not stop a good show at the end of this thing. Will Power's team used crafty strategy to keep their driver near the front. When others needed fuel, Power stayed P1 for his third win in Toronto. Elio Castroneves second for a Penske 1-2, but hometown hero James Hinchcliffe gambled. He had enough ethanol to make it to the end. He caught a late yellow and got a third, a podium, his best Toronto finish, and he loved the fan support.
I saw as we were coming to the restart on the last lap, there everybody in the grandstands at Turn 11 standing up, and man, just so special, you know, for me to get to come here and race in my backyard, and the support that I felt from this city. I mean, I can't thank all the fans, everybody in Toronto, enough for all the support.
IMS Radio, we thank them for the use of that clip. IndyCar points into Mid-Ohio. Powers win. Pulls him up to second behind teammate Simon Pagenaud, who is ninth in Toronto. The gap is 47 now. Coming up in our second guest segment, more recap of the Toronto Indy with RacingNorth.ca's IndyCar specialist, our good buddy Stephanie Wallcraft. On the Toronto Indy undercard, Indy Lights had two races. Number one, Felix Rosenquist wins it. Three Canadian finishes. Grimsby's Garrett Grist, seventh. Stouffville's Dalton Kellett, eighth. And Montreal's Zachary Clayman DeMello, 13th. Race number two, Rosenquist again to sweep. Grist, 7th. Kellett, 11th. DeMello, 13th. USF 2000, recent guest Parker Thompson won race number two, his fourth win of the season. Nice win by a very nice young man. I got to meet him. Terrific. NASCAR Canada Series, their triumphant return to the CNE grounds. Montreal's Alex Tagliani scored his fourth series win, second of the season. Tag took the lead from Toronto's Danny Morad on lap 25, then held off a serious attack from Roxton Pond's Andrew Ranger at the end to take it. The fact that Tag and Ranger have driven this place in an IndyCar may have had a lot to do with the exciting drag race style finish. NASCAR Sprint Cup, let's do Loudoun, New Hampshire. Matt Kenseth prevails, yes, despite a rash of late cautions. His second of the season for Joe Gibbs, 38th for his career, strong second for Tony Stewart. Joey Logano was third, followed by Harvick and Biffle. Cup points into the Brickyard, therefore. Harvick leads. Keselowski was 15th at Loudoun by 14. Cup clippings, none of everybody likes this aero stuff. There was a big one in Kentucky. Eight cars collected, including Kyle Larson, Chris Buescher, A.J. Allmendinger, Danica Patrick, etc., etc. Well, some blame it on the ongoing downforce aero pack NASCAR experiment. Buescher says everybody keeps begging for less and less downforce, and we keep seeing more and more incidents because of it. His opinion. NASCAR Xfinity Series at New Hampshire. Yeah, Kyle Busch continues to steamroll, leading all but 10 of the 200 laps in this one. His 82nd series win. Time to consider something else. Formula One. Mercedes is deciding not to appeal that penalty for legal radio use of the British GP. In a vague rule, we're not allowed to really help drivers with problems that could park the car. Rosberg got advice on a wobbly gearbox. This is the offending in-car radio transmission between Rosberg and his team that got them in all the hot water.
Avoid seventh gear, Nico. Avoid seventh gear.
Well, what does that mean? I mean, I have to shift through it.
A firm, Nico. You need to shift through it. A firm. You need to shift through it.
I like that. What does that mean? The penalty, however, serious now, dropped Rosberg to third behind Max Verstappen, meaning race winner Lewis Hamilton is now only 1 point back of his teammate. But riddle me this, will you? How the devil can Merck, Rosberg, or the Stewarts know at the time if the gearbox is going to gank or not? When a rule is subject to different interpretation, it's too gray. It needs to be changed. Listen, you either allow all radio transmissions or none at all and just uninstall the radios. Typical Formula One to make things a lot more complicated than they really need to be. Bikes, Canadian Superbike, Atlantic Motorsport Park, Shubenacadie, Nova Scotia for News 95.7 Halifax. Two races here, too. Jordan Zolk wins the first one on the BMW, his eighth win on that track. Race number two, Jordan again to sweep the weekend in the Maritimes, closing in, yes, most definitely, on an unprecedented 11th national superbike title. Wow. World MotoGP, the German Grand Prix, the Sachsenring, started in the rain, this thing did, but Marc Marquez switched to slicks just at the right time after he himself slid off in the rain to register his third win on the season on the Repsol Honda. His points lead 48 better than Jorge Lorenzo, who finished 15th in Germany, and that's the way that thing wound up. Our rally news, a presentation of the Subaru WRX and WRX STI, creating those monster sales. Nice flourish at the end, always. Rally America, New England Forest Rally, Newry, Maine, Subaru Team USA's David Higgins and Craig Drew, topping fellow Subers Travis Pastrana and Christian Enstrom in a very, very tight fight. Very entertaining. Higgins is 8-for-8 at this rally, and that's pretty much close to perfect. Yeah, as a matter of fact, it is perfect. Faces in the pits include former Williams and Lotus Formula One pilot Pastor Maldonado, who thinks the IndyCar series is very interesting. That's not his accent, really, just my interpretation. On a visit to Iowa Speedway, but remains focused on getting back into F1 next year. The Venezuelan was a guest of KVSH Racing. That's the Vassar Kalkoven outfit. But both parties played down any kind of suggestion of talks about a drive for him in IndyCar. Maldonado said the short Iowa oval where they were, looked very interesting and was demanding, and confirmed that IndyCar may be on his long-term radar. We'll see. Nice to see former Raceline Radio guest and Hall of Famer Scott Maxwell in his Continental Tire Sports Car Championship race and win that at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park in his Multimatic Ford Shelby GT 350 Mustang. Maxie won the Grand Sport class with co-driver Billy Johnson. Celebrating the victory with family and friends at CTMP, that's his home track, Scott got pretty emotional when he mentioned his dad, George, a big influence, a huge influence in his racing career. He couldn't be there due to illness. Best wishes to Mr. Maxwell, who we have known for a long, long time. It's the family part of the sport that often glues it together, and it certainly is in the Maxwell household. And sad to tell you that Eldon Palmer, that's Eldon Palmer, Indianapolis area car dealer, who crashed the pace car into the photographer's stand at the start of the 71 Indianapolis 500, has died recently after a sudden illness. He was 87. Palmer, you see, was driving the 71 Dodge Challenger pace car with IMS owner Tony Hullman Jr., astronaut John Glenn, first American to orbit the Earth, and ABC broadcaster Chris Schenkel. Remember him? Well, they were in the car with him, and as the field went green and Palmer peeled off into the pits, the brakes on the car locked, sending the car careening into the camera stand at the end of pit road at around 60 miles an hour. Luckily enough, with cameras flying, nobody was seriously hurt. And that's going to do it for this week on the Raceline Race Wrap. Your questions, opinions, comments, openly encouraged. Share your thoughts and opinions with your fellow gearheads across the network, because your comments could win you the grand prize in our Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. We get to your emails, entries, and comments after a little while. All right, Lisa, let's do the pit stop. And once we get back to green and underway again, our first segment recap of the 30th Toronto Indy, won by Will Power. Then we're joined by Stephanie Walcraft from RacingNorth.ca for her take on the chase by the lake. This is Raceline, presented by Subaru. See your local Subaru dealer for a performance drive today along the Raceline Radio Network.
Hi, this is Michael Andretti. We're coming right back on Raceline Radio.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
The Raceline Radio Network. Eric Thomas with you. Check out our Raceline Radio Network Facebook page if you like. We would like you to do that. Guest show schedules, a list of network affiliates and broadcast times are all listed there for you. No matter where you live, something will be covered by it. You can also follow us on Twitter if you like. We hope you do, at ET Raceline. Well, the 2016 IndyCar Series Honda Indy Toronto Exhibition Place Toronto won by Will Power, but speed, strategy, and nail-biting one-lap dash at the Indy culminated with the Aussie scoring his third win of the season over the past four races, really, and climbing one step higher on the all-time win list. The win by 1.5 seconds over teammate Elio Castroneves. Power broke a tie with Johnny Rutherford, three-time Indy 500 winner, to stand by himself in 13th on the all-time IndyCar list with 28, and also move Power to within second place in the points chase behind Simon Pagenaud. The gap unofficially is 47 points. So a pretty good afternoon for Will Power in terms of the number. Let's remember, too, that he missed the race in St. Petersburg with an inner ear infection. So this is comeback time for Will Power. The fans saw many times in the past, didn't take long for drivers to make contact on this very narrow course. They had to change the configuration of it because it was too narrow in the final turn complex, and they moved the wall back on top of the curb. They did it overnight, and they also did some sandblasting on those pesky, slippery concrete patches. So the track was also coming up in places along the curbing during this race. So worn out track. I think it's pretty obvious that this track is. What they're going to do from now on, I really have no idea. But fresh off his 24th career pole, Scott Dixon led the field to green, but as the Toronto fans have seen, yeah, contact for sure. Lap one, Charlie Kimball in trouble, along with Graham Rahal. They touched in turn eight, spinning Kimball, cutting a tire on Rahal's Honda. Andretti Autosports' Ryan Hunter-Reay and the Andretti's boy, miserable season, huh? Still didn't get anything done. Well, involved in that, Ryan Hunter-Reay cut a tire, had to come in. Caution came on lap five for debris. For Joseph Newgarden, contact with Juan Pablo Montoya, following last week's race winner at Iowa and the defending Toronto champ Newgarden to go off strategy. Dixon was the powerful guy, led through the early portions of this 85-lap race, followed closely by Castro Neves, but misfortune fell Elio in the Pennzoil Chevy when he cut a left front tire on his own, costing him valuable time limping around to get it fixed in the pits. After the first cycle of green flag stops, Dixon led the Penske duo of Pagenaud and Power. The issues incurred by Castro Neves dropped him to sixth. Approaching the halfway point of the race, yeah, running it down for you, Dixon ran into lap traffic, which allowed Pagenaud to trim the deficit before a caution for debris and a track inspection on lap 45 forced the restart. Battles on throughout the field as drivers who pitted under yellow tried to fight forward on fresh rubber. On this track, that's not easy. The fourth yellow of the day came out in lap 58 when Newgarden smacked the turn 5 wall, injuring his championship run, and of course his shoulder that he banged up in Texas too. That was a hard hit. That one hurt. The incident also inflicted potential championship hits on several others. As it came to the middle of the final round of pit stops for the leaders, Dixon, Pagenaud, Montoya had all been running in the top three, but had yet to pit when the caution came out and dropped well down the order when pitting under yellow. Power ducked in just before the yellow on lap 58, and that, boys and girls, was the difference. After the lap 63 restart, Kanaan led the field, needing to make one last stop, which came on lap 75. Kanaan relinquished the lead to Power, who seemed poised to ride off into the sunset, but a late yellow when Jack Hawksworth got into trouble with Montoya. He running into the back of Hawksworth. That brought out the yellow that also helped James Hinchcliffe, because, as it turns out, Hinch was there. He was third. He dropped down, and the order came back. He was in a position to score a podium. Wasn't sure, and the pits and the team weren't exactly sure he had enough ethanol in the cell to go the distance. But that late yellow saved his bacon. Really did, because I'm not exactly sure, and we may never know now, whether or not there was enough fuel in that cell to go the distance if the race remained under green. But, of course, under yellow, the RPMs come down, fuel consumption comes down, and he had enough, Hinchcliffe did. And that was really the story for a lot of those fans that were at this race this weekend, is the fact that Hinchcliffe has not had the best of luck. He's finished eighth twice, and that's the best he has finished at this race. But a podium for third, fantastic. A good afternoon for him, considering the last few events. You know, he qualified sixth, started from the sixth hole. The last few races, he started tail through terrible qualification and just not getting it done, basically, and started tail in the last couple of races. And he said, nice to be on the pointed end of the starting grid, and he worked that thing into a podium. So all in all, not sure about the attendance. It looked pretty lousy on Friday. Saturday was a little bit better. Kind of hard to tell on Sunday. It was a lot better than the first 2 days. They don't announce the attendance figure, so we'll not exactly know what happens. But in terms of this racetrack, I'm wondering, and I'm going to talk to Stephanie Walcraft in our second guest segment about this, whether or not this site and that street course that's there with all the bumps and the track coming apart, and, you know, some people said, well, is this thing the best site for this race anymore? The debate rages on about that. Should it be moved to Canadian Tire Motorsport Park? I don't know the answer to that. All I know is that's not the best looking racetrack either. The race didn't photograph well because I think just the streets are worn out. I mean, it's just so bumpy. But then the drivers say you kind of like that because it gives it character. But all in all, I don't know whether that's still the best place to run this race. And the debate will rage on. You can debate with me via email, eric@racelineradio.ca. Stephanie Walcraft will certainly have some information about that and her own opinion on what could be done with that racetrack. But there's part one of our Toronto Indy recap. And part two, as we said, after the trivia contest, we're going to add expert analysis from racingnorth.ca, Stephanie Walcraft. Also an overview of the event. Is it really coming back to prominence again, as some believe it is? We will discuss it. Okay, Lisa, let's roll into another pit stop before we spin our Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. This is Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Matt Kenseth, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network. We are Canada's national radio motorsport authority, you know. I'm Eric Thomas. You're invited to check out my Thomas Tales blog and the Canadian Motor Speedway website and my Thomas Tales columns and Inside Track Motorsport News every other issue. And on the web, on the Raceline page at sportsnet.ca. So here we go again with the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest, your chance to win the grand prize pack. And it is a grand prize pack for sure. Asking you Subaru trivia questions, you have to include the answer to those questions in your email of commentary to go in to the break drum for the official draw to win the prize pack. The winning entry is drawn at random at the end of the on-track racing season, and the winner claims the prize pack loaded up with all kinds of good stuff and goodies from Subaru. Let us stay with the BRZ Sports Coupe, as the BRZ is, of course, the official Raceline Radio Network special events cruiser. The question, the four-cylinder Subaru Boxer engine that powers the good old Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe, I need you to give me the peak horsepower of the motor and at what RPM is that achieved, okay? I'll ask it again. The four-cylinder Subaru Boxer engine that powers the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe, give me the peak horsepower of the motor and at what RPM is that peak horsepower achieved. Use Eric at racelineradio.ca, Eric at racelineradio.ca to get your email in here. You spell Eric with a capital E, it's a small k, and you do not put a space between Raceline and Radio. I got to stop doing that. I was trying to imitate my neighbor. Let us now go to the mailbag before I get into really big trouble. And our good friend and loyal listener since the year they invented rope, Avram Posen, which means a long time. And Avram is a former grand prize winner. And I think he won our very first. No, he didn't win. Well, he might have. Yeah, I think he did, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I think I thought Aaron Barbarian, but that was another contest. Anyway, Avram has already won a prize pack, but he can win another one. There's no rule that says he can't, right? So, you know, enter as often as you like. You've already won a prize pack, and a lot of people still, you know, send in entries because there's no rule against winning multiple prize packs. I checked it with Subaru. They're dandy with it. Hi, ET. Subaru's BRZ engine is so many horsepower at so many RPM, and Avram has it nailed completely. Hooray, hooray. So he's now into the brake drum. You can enter as often as you like, and Avram has a lot of entries in the brake drum. He's a weekly player. I don't always read his mails on the air, but he's a weekly player. That's the thing, too. If you send in an entry and I don't get to reading it on the air, does not mean it's not entered. As long as it's the right answer, obviously. You have to sort of trust us on that one. But, you know, we don't want to have a lot of rules to sort of bog down the contest. Well, if you're this, if you're that, if you're in this, there, no, no, no. We don't do that. Wendy Hollis, Merrittville Maniac. Let's get to her note really quickly before we run out of time. News Talk 610, CKTB, AM 900, CHML. She listens to both. Eric, a couple of weeks ago on your show, you're talking about good old King Teflon Bernie and the Montreal Grand Prix race in 2017. I think he's out blackmailing the punters for more money to line his pockets. She's not alone in that assumption and that belief, and I tend to join that group. One of these days, the good folks of Montreal will sit up and bite back. I mean, if the King Cobra insists on teasing the mongoose, you know what'll happen. That's a good analogy. She goes on to say, we might just lose the race in Montreal. After all, you can only get so much blood out of a paved track or a rock. I know what she means, though. And pretty soon, she's right. Pretty soon, Bernie's just going to, the price tag is going to be too steep, and Montreal will say, bye-bye. And that'll be a shame, and that should not happen. And that should never happen, but that's a distinct possibility of happening. Because every time Bernie's around, he's, you know, well, he's not happy with the renovations or that haven't happened yet or haven't been finished yet. Keeps on talking about the fact that the future of the race may be on shaky ground. He's after more money for a sanctioning fee. And you can't really convince me any other way. Enough Bernie talk and enough Bernie bashing. Wendy goes on to conclude, do you think he could be related to Donald Trump by any chance? At all, I don't think so, because I think Bernie's got much better hair. Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe assumption, just thinking outside the box. Take care and keep on keeping us, all of our gearheads, happy, she goes on to say. See you in the winner's circle, Wendy Hollis, the Merrittville Maniac. So thank you for your note. We do appreciate that. Milton Gray, parts unknown, simple note. Eric, what's the latest news regarding Cayuga Speedway? The answer, Milt, nothing. And that's the simple answer. And until someone from that facility sends an official release out or gets a hold of me and tells me what they're doing with that track, as far as I'm concerned, Cayuga's a dead issue. I know everybody wants it to come back with all kinds of brewery money and get NASCAR people and run races there again like the glory days. I think that's over the rainbow. And that's a shame that's going to happen. But as far as I'm concerned, it's a dead issue. You can keep asking me if you want, but I don't hear anything. And if I don't hear anything, nothing's happening. We need your entries, your commentary, the trivia question. The Subaru Boxer engine that powers the BRZ Sports Coupe. Give me the peak horsepower and at what RPM. Use Eric at racelineradio.ca to connect with your email. Eric spelled with a capital E and a small K. Another pit stop, Lisa, right about here. Then part two of our Toronto Indy analysis with IndyCar specialist Stephanie Wallcraft from racingnorth.ca. This is Raceline presented by Subaru. Test drive a BRZ Sports Coupe today for the ultimate in performance handling. This is the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Tony Kanaan, and you're listening to the Raceline Radio.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Canada's National Radio Motorsport Authority for 24 consecutive seasons, Raceline, on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru. Eric Thomas with Lisa Pileski, our Supreme Commander and Raceline Master Control, Master of the Phones as well. Vic Politian manning the network functions for us. Happy that he's doing that. Ozzie Wiltpower wins the 2016 edition, the 30th running of the Toronto Indy downtown Toronto, currently the only Canadian stop on the IndyCar schedule. Let us slide now into part two of our recap and analysis, and to give us a hand once again, always happy when she's available to do that, welcoming back our very good friend from the celebrated racingnorth.ca racing website, the go-to place for me and for a lot of other folks who want to chart Canadians, Stephanie Wallcraft is back with us on Raceline Radio. Hi, Steph. Steph, are you there? Uh-oh. Okay. Well, I think we dropped the line. We're having some phone issues, which is kind of unusual. It's weird. I don't know what's happening there, but we'll carry on here. It'd be interesting to know what you thought about the event in terms of the event itself. New management at the top and some different ideas. I mean, the big thing that caused all the adjustments, first of all, is a lot of it was the logistics of the racetrack. And remembering that the racetrack didn't get changed itself in terms of its shape. What they had to change was pit out because of the hotel there. And that really screwed things up. So they were forced to move the pits to the north side of the straightaway. And that really was a strange situation because that meant that they had to change the pit in and change the pit out. And the pit itself was a pretty wavy kind of a looking situation. Some of the drivers didn't like it. I mean, James Hinchcliffe had the first pit stall there, and as you're coming around kind of blind there, they said, you got to change the configuration of this thing. And they did overnight. They moved the wall back on top of the curbing. We're attempting to get back to Stephanie Wallcraft here. We're having some telephone issues here. Can we call for Stephanie now? Is she there? Stephanie, I can hear the buzz of your phone. Are you there?
I am. I can't hear you very well, E.T., but we'll give it a shot.
I apologize for that, Stephanie. We're having some telephone issues here, but thanks for coming on. Give us your opinion, first of all, of the race itself. It got very, very exciting at the end.
It was an interesting one, for sure, and I think it was influenced by different factors than we expected. The story going into the weekend having been all the changes around the pit lane and the turn 9, 10, 11 complex.
We were just talking about that.
That really didn't factor into the race's story in the end. It came back more to, you know, the condition of the course, the fact that it's a concrete tunnel and lots of attrition, lots of yellow flags that played right into the hands of a winner Wiltpower and James Hinchcliffe in the end. And sort of the same stories that tend to color our Honda Indy Toronto, but with the added bonus of having a Canadian on the podium for the first time since, look back here, 2006 was the last time we had. Paul Tracy was on the podium back then.
Yeah.
So the first Honda Indy Toronto of the new era, in air quotes, if you'll call it. Great to see James have that success at home.
Stephanie Wallcraft from RacingNorth.ca is with us on Raceline Radio, wrapping up the 30th 2016 edition of the IndyCar Honda Indy Toronto. You know, and it was great to see Hinch grab that podium. If it hadn't have been for the late yellow with Hawksworth, Do you think that, I mean, we may never know the answer to this question, Stephanie. Do you think Hinch and the Schmidt-Peterson team had enough ethanol in that car to go the distance and retain the podium? If it hadn't have been for that late yellow, he may have run out of fuel because he was going for it anyway, right?
Well, I took the liberty of crunching a few numbers before I got on the phone.
Well, you're better at that than me, though. That's good.
So, James last pitted on lap 47 of the 85 lap race, which means he went 39 laps.
Right.
Now, the average pit window was 30 laps for most of the field, you know, give or take a lap or two.
Yep.
So he had to stretch out 9 laps from sort of the average fuel load to get it to the end.
I hear you. Yep.
But during that time, there were 10 laps of yellow.
Okay.
So if you take that last group of yellow flags, actually wasn't the longest. It was only two laps in the end before that one lap dash to the finish. So it turns out that it seemed like it was very stressful, and we were watching and biting our fingernails. But Hinch said himself in the post-race press conference that it wasn't as bad as it seemed.
What was
a bigger problem for him was making sure that he had enough fuel not only to get to the finish but to use the push-to-passes that he had left to make sure he was competitive on that last one-lap run, because everybody around him had plenty to spare as well. And it turns out that he was able to do that and hang on to third, just, you know, with a bit less wiggle room than he normally would have liked, but he made it.
Yeah, that's good. And, the television commentators and the radio guys were making kind of a big deal out of the fact, well, we don't know whether Hinch has got enough fuel to go and get this podium, yakety-yakety-yak. So, well, as it turns out, you know, all good that ends well, I suppose. And he grabbed the podium. Before we run out of time here, we're getting down towards the end here. I want to ask your opinion about this racetrack. I mean, some people say the bumps are good. It gives it character. But, you know, it looks worn out. It raced like it's worn out. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to put you on the spot here, but is this CNE circuit the best facility for this event anymore, unless they just repave the darn thing?
Boy, that's a question that's been asked a lot this weekend.
Yes, it has been. You're right.
The Move It to Mosport contingent is starting to get their torches and pitchforks out, aren't they?
Yes, and I've been reluctant to join that clan. I won't carry the torch and the pitchfork, but after watching that today, I'm starting to think, is that the best presentation on this track? What do you think, Steph?
Well, you know, here's my thinking of it. When I first sat down and looked at that new turn 11, especially where it's really narrow, so much so that it's even more narrow than the pit lane in that section, actually.
Yeah.
It seemed really jarring, and there were all those incidents on Friday, but then we sort of got through the weekend and you know, there was a lot of talk on Friday, early Saturday about, you know, turn 11 is off camber and sending people into the wall and there's going to be all this damage, it's going to be so expensive. And then we got to the end of the weekend, and sort of by the end of Saturday and all day today, it really wasn't a concern at all. And when you're driving at this level, it's the professional's job to figure it out,
yes,
right?
That's true, yeah.
So from that perspective, I don't really know if turn 11 ended up being as big of a problem as everybody expected it to be. What's a bigger problem to me is I did a walk around of the track on Tuesday night.
Yes, that was excellent.
What really stood out to me
is
down sort of through 4, 5, 6 and round to 8.
Yep.
And then in the new section where they just kind of cobbled together the track from what was already there, there's a lot of paving that needs to be done. And as we know, the City of Toronto paid some money a couple of years ago to redo Lakeshore along the stretch that the track uses here. But it's time to start doing some repaving within Exhibition Place. And whether the city is going to want to spend that kind of money something that's used for this once a year.
Yeah.
Is a big, big question mark.
Does the promoter have...
I think the answer to that question comes out of whether the city is willing to cooperate in that regard, because this has got I wouldn't even say two winters left in it before it gets to the point where something's just got to be done.
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more because, it's to the point where the thing is just... It's worn out, and you know, on television, it looks worn out, and that's not a good thing. I mean, you know how television photographs it is one thing, and you say, well, what's that got to do with racing? Well, it's all part of the promotion and the value that the thing looks good. You know, the track in Montreal always looks good. You know, this facility looks broken and junky and worn out, and it needs to get fixed in my mind. And it sounds like you probably agree with that, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well, but I think what you're saying is the same thing I am, which is that it's time to see whether whether anything's going to be done about the track surface, and if the city comes back and says we don't think it's worth the expense, then definitely I think that it's time to go knocking on the door of Ron Fellows and company and see what interest they have and what they can do. And I know that Ron Fellows and Carlo Fagnani, the owners of Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, have been actively looking for new major events. And so maybe now's the time to capitalize.
I think IndyCar has also had a tour of that place, if memory serves correct.
That all came about last year with the move to the Pan Am Games and the exploring whether there would be a need to move it just for the 1 year. And even then the buzz was, well, if you move it for 1 year, it may never come back.
So. Well, exactly. I heard that argument too. I feel bad for Joseph Newgarden. He's got a banged up shoulder and that lick that he took hurts. Any word on an update on his condition? Stephanie, any update on the, on Joseph Newgarden? And he really,
Yes, so he was cleared and released from the medical center here at the track.
Okay.
He was feeling okay, which is surprising because we sort of saw him. It seemed like he was clutching his hand a little bit after the incident. But he did say afterward that he managed to get his hand off the wheel.
Good.
But with it having been so bumpy and that jarring impact over the curb, which was disintegrating at turn five, and that's another discussion entirely. The officials at IndyCar said they were going to have, he is cleared from the track today, but he's going to have to go back to Indianapolis and be cleared by the doctor who's overseeing his recovery before he will be cleared to drive in mid-Ohio in 2 weeks.
Stephanie, thanks so much for this. We're totally out of time. Always great to get you on to do a wrap-up of these big events, and thank you so much. It was great seeing you on the weekend, and we'll chat again soon. Thank you very
much. Absolutely. Always a pleasure, Eric. Thank you.
RacingNorth.ca, Stephanie Wallcraft, part two of our Toronto Indy wrap-up. Who knows what the future of the event holds over the next 30 years or so. Lisa, the final stop, and then we'll come back and set up next week's show and more on The Last Lap. This is Raceline presented by Subaru, powered by the heart-pounding turbocharged WRX STI on the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Scott Dixon, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free.
Thomas, Raceline across Canada on the Raceline Radio Network. White flag is up, and that means we're on the last lap. Here's what we want to do for you next week. Interviewed together, we're going to chat with the Ray Halls, Graham and wife drag racer Courtney Forrest. You're really going to enjoy it. We're going to reconnect as well with Ace Dirt Modified champ and car builder Pete McNell for a preview of their huge Bob St. Amand Memorial at Merrittville Speedway, Canada's longest operating dirt track, plus your entries for the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. But when checkers fly, we say goodbye. Hugh Normus, Raceline, thanks to F1 Communications for the Rosberg Sound, IMS Radio for the Hinchcliffe Sound, and RacingNorth.ca's Stephanie Wallcraft. Thanks to Supreme Commander Lisa Pileski and Vic Politian for ops and pre- and post-production, and to the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest players and qualifiers. So from all of us at Raceline Radio, I'm Eric Thomas. So long, everyone. Raceline Coast to Coast on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru, has been driven by the Subaru WRX and WRX STI 11-time Canadian Rally Manufacturers Champion, and by the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe, engineered to excite. Talk to y'all again next week right here on Raceline Radio.